The reading this morning is found in Romans 13, and it's verses 8 to 10. If you're wanting to follow in your Bibles, it's on page 1140. That's Romans 13, verses 8 to 10. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other commands there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, good. I'm Sam, and it's a real privilege to be able to open up God's word with you this morning. Now, as Ruth said, this term we're working through the book of Romans. And it's been a really amazing journey that we've been on so far. And the first 11 chapters, Paul really lays it down about what the doctrine of who God is, who we are as his creation, and what it looks like for us to be made right with him. And so Paul gives us kind of a framework of the fact that all of us need saving, that it doesn't matter what family we grew up in, what church we were or weren't a part of, the rules or regulations we might or might not have followed in our life, or stuck to better than somebody else, but actually that all of us need saving, that all of us fall short of the glory of God, and that there's only one way to be saved. Paul shows us that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we are saved. And so the first 11 chapters are kind of working through us having a better understanding of our need for and the beauty of what has been accomplished by Jesus on the cross around 2,000 years ago. And then chapter 12, which we heard from last week, the focus shifts and it says, in view of God's mercy, let us offer our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. In other words, in view of chapters 1 to 11, in view of what God has done for us, this is how we ought to act. And so from there on and to where we find ourselves today, there's a little bit of a call to action, I think. So if you want to turn with me to verse 8, and it's about fulfilling the law through love. Verse 8, Paul writes, let no debt remain outstanding. To give a bit of context, one verse earlier, verse 7, it says to give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If it's revenue, then revenue. If it's respect, then respect. If it's honor, then honor. So if you owe someone something, give it to them. But then Paul moves forward this idea and says, let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. It's almost like our call to love others isn't like something that can get paid off and then we can just sort of forget about it. And we're never free from this obligation to love one another. You know, there are things we can accomplish. Our energy bill, which is going up and up, our Netflix subscription, you know, these are things we can satisfy, and we definitely should. But love, it has no limit on how much we're supposed to pour out. There's a man called Origen who was a theologian in the early church, and he wrote that the debt of love remains with us permanently and never leaves us. This is a debt we both discharge every day and forever owe to each other. And that's massive. That means that if I love you today, like I love myself, when I wake up tomorrow morning, I still owe you the same debt of love. And remember, this is to anyone we meet as well. The elderly widow next door, the loud teenagers on the train, the tired mom dragging their kid around a supermarket, whoever it is, we owe a continual debt of love to them. And let's be honest, I'll be honest with you, I certainly can put boundaries on love. You know, I'll love this person if they do this for me, or if they do that for me, or if they agree with me on this certain point. But our motive to love others, we're told today, shouldn't be because we owe it to them, because it's something they've done for us, but it's because we've received such great mercy from Christ. 1 John 4, verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." You know, look around the world, you see countless political crises, wars, and to me, and also looking at myself, my own personal shortcomings, it becomes clear that I'm not remotely deserving of God's love. And yet, in the person of Christ, he showers it freely upon me and every one of you. And when we know ourselves to be loved like this, then I think we'll grow in an indebtedness to love one another. You know, not because doing so is what saves us or gets us into heaven, but because we've seen the immensity of the love poured out to us by Christ. Which is why the first 11 chapters, which we've been working through in Romans, are so vital. You know, we don't skip that class because we heard it years ago. You know, the gospel that we hear in it is a foundation stone through which we can love our neighbor well. The end of verse 8, it tells us, "Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law." Now, in a moment, Paul goes on to explain this, and it is a little bit complex. But it's interesting because it can be really easy to fall into the trap of thinking that the law and love are at odds with one another. But Paul says that love is the fulfillment of the law. You know, many of us can lean towards one or the other, lean towards law or lean towards love. Paul goes on and it says the commandments, "You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there is are summed up in this one command, to love your neighbor as yourself." And why? Because love does no harm to a neighbor. And this makes sense, right? You know, if you love your neighbor, you don't murder them. If you love your neighbor, you don't commit adultery. You don't steal from them. And so it's almost like God's law gives some kind of structure to love. John Stott, a famous theologian, he says, "Love needs law for direction, while law needs love for its inspiration." It's almost like love is the motivation, and the law gives us some application for that motivation. They work together. It's almost like God's law gives love some concrete guidelines. But as I touched on earlier, there can be a problem when we lean towards one and the other and forget the interconnectedness of them. If we lean towards law without love, then we can find ourselves in this place of religion, of judgment, of duty. And it will be difficult. It will really weigh us down as we realize we can't get anywhere near to fulfilling these laws in our own strength. And when we fall into this dangerous pattern of thinking that it's just laws and don't understand the motivation that it's to show love, it gets too hard. And some of us might be trying to accomplish these laws of the Old Testament without understanding God's love, or falling into the trap of thinking that keeping these laws is what saves us. It's not. Must be really clear on that. We are now today under the law of Christ, not the law of the Old Testament. The Old Testament law shows us our inability to keep the law and points us to our need for Jesus as our Savior. God's grace through Jesus on the cross is what saves us, not our works. Now, really notice the word works in this piece of scripture I'm going to read out. It's from Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. However, this doesn't mean that the law is irrelevant. If we find ourselves with love and no law, then there's a danger that we're without an anchor. There's a danger we could be driven by feelings. Without any foundation of Jesus' commands, then what happens is we can unknowingly start running on the feeling of what we think love is, or what the world tells us love is, and then start building what we think love is based off our own comforts, our own opinions, or appeasing or being liked by those around us. And then the danger is we could eventually go, hey, if that's what you want, I just want you to do whatever you feel like is good for you because I love you. And this might happen if we proclaim for things the world tells us is love, but are not found within the framework of what Jesus defines is love, the one who is love. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets." You should note here that the law or the prophets Jesus is referring to is his word found in the Old Testament. "I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Love is not the abolishment of the law, but we fulfill the law of God as we love each other in accordance with his truth revealed to us in the Bible. And evidence from Scripture really shows us that love needs a framework. And we see that in the person of Jesus, who, by the way, was the most loving person there ever was. In Matthew 22, starting verse 37, Jesus replied, "When asked for the greatest command, he said, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.' All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, a couple practical points before we finish, as I know that I've talked a lot about the connectedness between God's law and love. Now, firstly, it's really important to reiterate that Jesus himself has fulfilled the law as a free gift to us. We can't do it through our own works of keeping the law. But I don't think this means we should just ignore the law. But we should know that the law is all encompassed by love, is motivated by love, and is applied and fulfilled completely in love by Jesus. So we ought to do whatever we can to emulate this by loving our neighbor today, and in doing so, fulfilling the law and the prophets. But what does it look like to love our neighbor in our day-to-day life, at work? I think the simple answer is to keep looking at Jesus, to listen carefully and astutely to what he has to say to us, and then to put it into action. You know, he's the very definition of love, and he proved it on the cross. He went through the greatest sacrifice of them all. He was betrayed by his best friend. He was subject to the cruelest, most painful method of death at the hands of the Roman Empire. He was ridiculed. He was mocked, and all the whilst being perfect and just helping people. Now, John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, read the Gospels, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and look at how Jesus interacts with people, with rich people, with social outcasts, with people stuck in sin, with people who hate him. You know, Jesus is immeasurably kind. He makes time for people. He's gentle. He's merciful. He takes sin seriously. He loves people so much that he wants them to know that sin does matter. Whether that's the adulterous prostitute, the thieving tax collector, or the self-righteous Pharisee. But he does this in a manner that is filled with compassion and grace and gentleness. So if you do take anything away from what I've talked about today, just please look to Jesus more. You know, take his word seriously and love your neighbor seriously like he does. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing book of Paul. Would you help all of us to take his words seriously and apply them to our life? Help us to love like you loved, not narrowing the scope of who we love, but choosing to love everyone as our neighbor. In your strength, help us grow in understanding of this complex connectedness between your law and love. And in doing so, Father, help us to love our neighbor and live our lives more like you. In your name, amen.